Welcome to the hashtag Mom Life Podcast. My name is Kayla Ogletree. I'm a full-time mommy, full-time social worker. In this podcast, we're going to talk about everything. We're going to talk about relationships. We're going to talk about how to deal with mommy guilt. We'll talk about various topics because let's be honest, being a mom is hard. So let's do it together. Hey guys, welcome back to the hashtag Mom Life Podcast. We're back after a week off. Last week was just so crazy with 4th of July. We were out and about, so I just did not have the time to sit down and record a podcast. So I apologize, but I'm back this week. And this week I just wanted to talk about my first year as a mother, because my daughter just turned one this past Tuesday. I'm still in shock that I have a one-year-old, but it happens and it happens quickly. But I just wanted to kind of go over what I learned, what I expected that, you know, maybe didn't happen. Just talk to you a little bit about my experience as my first year being a mom, and hopefully it can help others who are, you know, still in that first year and still going through it with their children. So, but first off, to get into, I want to get into my hashtag mom life moment of the week, which has been the last couple weeks. Teething is terrible. I've been waiting for my daughter's teeth to come in forever at this point. So she's a year old, and now all four of her, you know, two of her top teeth and two of her bottom teeth decided to come in at the same time. I'm like, what did we do to deserve this? She is completely miserable. Her mouth hurts so bad. And I know everyone has their tips and tricks that they use. Honestly, I give her Tylenol. That seems to help her, but I really don't have, like, I have things for her to, like, chew on. She chews on everything, like, in regards to her toys, but I haven't really tried. People have suggested, like, someone recommended Oragel, but then other people don't recommend Oragel because of the chemicals in it, so it's just, like, I'm all over the place. I did have some teething toys for her, but we moved this like a couple months ago and I cannot seem to find the teething toys. I do have one for her, but people were recommending to like freeze it and give it to her, but oh my God, she hasn't been sleeping well. I'll have to say though, this past week she has been sleeping a little bit better. But the couple weeks before then, she was waking up and not wanting to go back to sleep. We've been having to put her in the bed with us, like I've talked about, because it's just been so terrible. And like, she's so clingy, she's so upset. Like she literally came home yesterday for the babysitter and all she did was whine. And I was only able to get like a few seconds of happiness from her, and then she would whine again. But you know, teething stinks. So I don't know how people get through it. It's challenging, but you do the best you can, you know, and it goes back to like, if you need help, ask for help. But yeah, teething, that's my hashtag mom life moment of the week, teething. It's been terrible, but we're getting through it. I think we're on the up and up now since she's sleeping a little bit better. But we'll see. Stay tuned. So just to jump right into the topic, first year of motherhood, what I thought, what I expected, what actually happened, how to be prepared. So honestly, I really enjoyed the first year of motherhood. You know, just seeing them grow and change, you know, throughout the 12 months from the, you know, and then you go through pictures and you remember them when they were like just born and you're bringing them home from the hospital. Like that is like the most, I guess, special thing to me, is just how much they change over the year. And really enjoying that change. But like I've said before, you're never really prepared for what to expect. Yeah, you're really never prepared as to what to expect and what's going to happen. Sophia was a very easy baby in the beginning, but once she started moving around, I keep telling people, I'm like, I don't know why people say infancy is challenging. This is hard because it's like trying to keep her entertained, and making sure that she doesn't fall or anything or like hurt herself. Like that's the hardest part for me, is like once they start moving around, like making sure that they don't hurt themselves. She's fallen a couple times. She's hit her head a couple times already. And it's like, it really like rocks her world. The other day, she almost fell off the bed. I like caught her right before she did, because she's just like, and they're quick. It's like they're really quick and they move. So, you know, you turn around for a second and something can, you know, it's just, you really have to like keep your eye on them 100%. And it's exhausting. Honestly, I miss her as like a little baby that would sleep and not move as much. You know, I miss that stage. You know, this stage is great too. Don't get me wrong. It's just exhausting. And I'm going to be very honest about that. And I guess I wasn't anticipating that, you know, I was like, oh, she'll start crawling. It'll be great. You know, I can't wait until she starts crawling. No. It is tough. Once they start moving around, this is the hard. You are literally on the go from the time they wake up to the time they go to sleep. And it's like figuring out what to do with them. So what I've been doing is finding stuff to do outside. Like, what can we do outside? You know, because being in the house all the time when she's moving, when she was smaller, it was fine. But now I'm like, what the heck am I going to do with you? You move around too much. Like, I don't want you to get hurt. Luckily we have friends who have pools. So we've been going to the pool a lot. We went to the beach for her birthday. She loves the pool. She loves the water. So that's been helpful, but it's just like, geez, like, what do you do with these kids? She has a lot of energy. So, you know, that's, you can't anticipate that. You don't know what your kid is going to be like. Some kids could just sit and play and be content and not, you won't have to worry about them. But Sophia, no. She is on the go, always moving. So I need to make sure that I'm taking care of myself and I have energy to keep up with her, because she just goes. Something else about over the last year. What else have I learned over the last year? I don't know, just like really enjoy the moments. Enjoy all the moments that you can, because it really does go, it goes by super quick. As much as you can take it in and really enjoy them at each stage of their development and as they're growing, I would highly recommend it, because you blink your eye and they're a year old. And I know it's just gonna go faster, you know, it's just gonna get faster from here. So yeah, really, if you can, enjoy every moment. And I think I've talked about, you know, have some good help, let people help you, you know, don't try to do everything by yourself. I've talked about that too. There were some other things I wanted to talk about, and I had all these good ideas, but now I can't remember any of them. I don't know. What was I going to say? Guys, it's like, and we're also planning her first birthday party is tomorrow. So I've been running around like a crazy person all week trying to get all of that stuff together. I'm not really good at party planning, and it's not one of my favorite things to do. I rather go to the party than plan the party. Getting every little detail. We're doing a mermaid themed birthday party. So like making sure, you know, and I have these ideas in my head and making sure they're all executed properly. I really give party planners props, because it's not easy. So we will be celebrating her first birthday tomorrow. We have a big party planned, so I'm excited about that. What is something else I could tell you guys about the first year of motherhood? I'm trying to think. I really had all these ideas, and I'm blanking right now because I was getting ready for work. And what is something that I want to tell you? First year of motherhood. Guys, I'm like really blanking right now. I had all these good ideas. I guess it just comes down to like following your instinct as a parent, and you know your child best, and you know what's going to work for them and what's best for them. So never doubt that. Never doubt that, especially in the first year. Everyone has their own opinions and the way they did things for their children that worked for their children, but every child is different. So it's really important to know what works best for your child at the end of the day. So don't let somebody else try to pressure you to do something that you don't want to do, or make you feel like you should do something a different way. That's what I wanted to talk about, was like the whole sleeping thing. I feel like is a big deal for babies and toddlers, and like, is it okay to let them sleep in your bed? Is it not okay? Honestly, whatever works for you is what's gonna work. If co-sleeping is what works for you, then that's what works for you. If you can do the cry it out method and that's what you want to do, that's great too. But there is no right or wrong way. You know, it's whatever works for you as a parent. I know for me, I can't do the cry it out method because I have to get up for work in the morning, and I prefer sleep over not sleeping, because then I'm a complete zombie at work. I'm not productive, and sleep is really important for both myself, her dad, and Sophia. You know, I don't want her to be super cranky for the babysitter the next day because she didn't sleep at night. So I really just pick my battles when it comes to that. You know, some nights she does great and she sleeps in her crib, no problem. But other nights she wakes up and I have to put her in the bed with me. But that's what works for us. But if that doesn't work for you, then that doesn't work for you. And yeah, you do things, whatever you feel and what works best for you and your family is what's going to work best. I'm trying to think of something else I could say. This was another tip that I was talking to one of my friends. Baby clothes. Don't spend your money on baby clothes if you don't have to. Like, we got a lot of hand-me-downs. If you can get a lot of hand-me-downs, that's great. Or, there's like those secondhand stores that sell clothes really cheap. Kids grow out of clothes so fast over the first year. Like, that is not a joke. I think Sophia, by the time she was 3 months, she was already wearing 6 month clothing. So we blew through clothes like it was like no other. Right now she's kind of been this, like she's between like 12 and 18 months. So it's been kind of steady. But now she's moving towards like 18 months, and those 12 month clothes aren't really fitting her as well. So when I say like they blow through clothes really quick, they do. Also toys. I've learned, if you can get those secondhand, please do that, because Sophia would rather play with a water bottle or a box or anything else, everything else but her toys. So that is my recommendation. Don't spend a lot of money on toys. Luckily, she has a cousin who is like a year and a half older than she is. So they share a lot of things. So we get a lot of his old toys. Or I'll just give her like a water bottle to play with. I really don't spend a lot of money on toys. So if that's something you can do, do that. Also, something I wish I had at home. I have one, but it was my nephew's. It travels between here and my mom's house, but a pack and play. Oh my God. I wish I had one that just stayed permanently at my house, because those pack and plays are genius, especially now that she's moving around. The pack and play, I'm like a pack and play like supporter to the fullest. It was great when she was an infant because they had a little bassinet that we would put her in to sleep. But the like when she's older, when they get older and they're moving, it's just a great place to like have it, like put them while you're trying to do stuff around the house. And the crib is okay, but like sometimes they fall over, they'll hit their head. She's a little bit better about she's like more aware of like her, the space in the crib that she has, so she's a little bit more careful. But if I had a pack and play, that would be so helpful. What else can I tell you? Those are like the things that I felt were most helpful for me, helpful tips for me. I'm trying to think of something else. Just really taking it one day at a time and trying not to overwhelm yourself with things to do. Because now you have the baby to take care of, and then you're also like you're having to take care of the household. I think I've talked about this on previous podcasts, but like finding a couple things, you know, maybe one or two things to do each day. So, you know, kind of like maintenance versus like trying to do everything at once and stressing yourself out. Especially on the weekend, like it's hard to like, cause you want to go out and do stuff on the weekend. So you don't want to be like doing all of your chores on the weekend. So like doing stuff like little things throughout the week was helpful. And then in terms of food, like feeding her, like finding dinner, like find easy things to make, especially if you're working full time. What I do with Sophia is she eats whatever I eat, you know, and I do cut it up for her. Now she's getting more teeth. She's been eating since she was about 4 months, so food is a little bit easier for her, and she's used to it because she's just been eating it for, you know, for a little while. But find easy things to do, you know, make things in bulk and store them in the fridge. That's my tip. And when she was on like pureed, I did do the pureed food first. I tried to make her own food as much as I could. But I did a combination of both, or I would like cut up like fruit and boil it in on the stove so it was softer so she could eat that. But honestly, whatever you could do to make your life easier, I would highly recommend that. Especially if you're working full time. Sometimes like getting home and trying to figure out what to make for dinner is like, what am I gonna do? But if I cook something the night before, I'll have leftovers in the fridge and that's dinner. You know, I'll do the same thing for myself too. And really just trying, the other thing I wanted to say too is as a mom, you know, having mom friends are really important, especially in the first year. I have a lot of friends who had babies that are a little bit older than Sophia, and they were like a godsend when it came to like, you know, just like they just understand, you know, they just understand where you are because they just had gone through that stage. They give you advice. I know I would always go to friends and ask them advice, friends who had babies. Mom friends, like, what are you doing? Like, we would exchange stories, and there was just like, honestly, that really helped because it, being a mom, especially in the first couple months, like when you're on maternity leave and you're home with the baby, like having my mom friends was so important because you feel kind of isolated, and you do feel lonely. And honestly, I rarely had those feelings because I made sure I stayed connected with my mom friends, and not just mom friends too. Like I have a lot of really good friends. Not all of them are moms, but just really staying connected to and having a support system, because it is hard. You know, it takes a village to raise a child. You know, Sophia has like 10 aunts, not just my two sisters, but my friends, they're all her aunts, you know, they would all, you know, if I ever needed anything, I know that they would all chip in and help. So having a really good support system, you know, if you don't have friends in the area, really getting out, joining mom groups. You know, a couple times I met like new moms. I went out with one of my friends, with moms that she knew, you know, and just like, it was just a way to get out the house to do things. Like, don't sit in the house all day, because that's just like, being with a baby, that can get like, you get like cabin fever. Like, you need to get out, and and be with other moms and be around other moms, and just so you feel like a sense of like someone understands me, like I'm not alone. So if you sit in the house all day, you really don't have that opportunity. So really, if you can get out there, find a mom group, find a mom meetup group. There's so many, then they're all over the place. So if you can do that, I would highly recommend that. Not just having mom friends, but also having the friends that aren't moms, is so important too, because I was telling my one friend who told me, and I think I mentioned this too in another podcast, she was like, "You're the only one that didn't disappear. All my other friends who had children disappeared." And I'm like, "What?" I was like, "You know, you also need that other," I'm like, "I don't understand. Like, I also need her." And she's such a great support for me too. And she's not, you know, she doesn't have children, but that's okay. Because you need friends who are moms, but you also need friends who aren't moms. I love the combination of the two. Because sometimes you just want to, like, not do the mom thing. You just want to be, like, your old self. And that is absolutely fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Yes, you're still a mom, but you just need, you know, sometimes you just need that. Need to not be a mom kind of thing. Just to, like, give yourself a break and not be on mommy mode so much. So both are important. Having a strong support system definitely is help for the first year of motherhood. And giving your time to, like, just, you know, go out and do things without your child is also important. You do need a break. So making sure that you have those opportunities. And it doesn't have to be frequently. It can be once a week, once a month, whatever works for you. But that definitely has helped me in my first year of motherhood. And then also, like, having times to go out with dad. If your significant other is, if you guys are still together, like, having those times to spend together. And we've made time to do that as well. So if you can do those things, you know, and I don't know everything. She's my first child, but these are things that have worked for me over the first year. And if you guys have any other tips or tricks or things that you would want to share with a first-time mom, you know, and your experience in the first year, at the end of the day, you can't anticipate what's going to happen. You never know what's going to happen. You can't predict how they're going to be. So it's really just being flexible and understanding that children change. They change drastically over the first year. So, you know, like I was saying, Sophia was really easy in the beginning, but now, like, it's not that she's not easy. She's still a happy, good baby, but she's definitely not the same baby that took home from the hospital. You know, she's just changed so much. And, you know, embrace that change. You don't want them to be the same. You want them to explore. You want them to grow. So yeah, I think that does it. I apologize for my my brain fog. Honestly, I've been planning this party and it's really consumed my thoughts, and I've been so busy, you know, I'm still working, and then I have, you know, I'm planning this party. So I apologize that this podcast might sound crazy and there's a lot of long pauses. But I hope this has been helpful. Again, if you guys have anything else you want to add, please let me know. And I wish you guys a good weekend and a good rest of your week. And I'll be back next week. All right. Take care. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Hashtag Mom Life podcast. Make sure you also follow me at #MomLife.podcast on Instagram. That's #spelled out MomLife.podcast. Also, please, if you're listening to me on Apple Podcasts, please leave me a review and a rating so I know how I'm doing. All right, thanks, guys. See you next time.